Our next reader and the climax of our evening is Peter Lamborn Wilson. He requests no encomiums or encomia. But I do want to say that, in my opinion and that of many others, Peter is nothing less than a national treasure. Scholar, poet, and a beacon to political as well as poetical activism. No one compares to Peter. It's a privilege to know him and have him here tonight. His latest collections of poetry are River People and Ecologues, which I would have you see as Eclogues with an extra O in it. Ecologues. And his latest book, which hasn't come out yet but soon will, is Opium Dens I Have Known, with art by Chris Martin. Peter, welcome.
These are poems from my unpublished.
Says
600-page long collected poems. Did I know that I had written so much? No, I didn't. But I found out. So these are just very few. First one is called Secrets of the Serapeum. The Serapeum was a temple in ancient Alexandria that was burned down by the Christians. 390, 391. The vast animal-headed idol's mouth connects to a tube bored through temple wall to secret chamber behind the visage where I crouch, murmuring into a funnel. Boom, boom. But the trick is, I'm actually possessed. I hear what I'm saying, but can't stop myself. Faint as I am with fumes of natron and burnt laurel. Lies I tell tend to come true. The temple is so big it has its own weather. Echoes that return hours later with different meanings. Acoustic anomalies cause distortions. Somber and portentous. Garbled but ominous. Afterwards, when it's too late, everything will become less clear, so that now each word you hear bears double the freight of foreboding and yet remains pure gibberish to the bewildered ear. It's always a greasy pack of cards, as Flaubert would say, and vital that the gypsy believes she's scamming the client, so her subconscious remains free to pick up real emanations and forebodings. Frankly, I'd rather not know. If you don't eat the cookie, the fortune won't happen. Anyway, Chinese communists used to insert dire prognostications, character slurs. Not once was I ever promised anything marvelous in the surrealist sense. My tantric guru claimed he could pick lottery numbers, but he died dirt poor. By a slight shift, it would be easy to believe Crow gave us song and not that the song is about the crow. Instead of species, we'd envision an invisible crow behind the ones we know, who also know us so well. Thus, not describe, but participate on some level beyond words, which appeal by their amuletic value alone as crowishness. Words themselves shift shape, never mind bodies, or rather, words are bodies of sound, not flesh. Crow's speech as sonic aura of crow, halo of caw, caw, unseen bird body stretched to include us. In Buchner's Death of Danton, the question is raised whether there exist truths worth killing for, an error that must on principle be met with terror. If all the heads that dreamed up the near disappearance of the honeybee had one neck, would you guillotine it? This is the Ghazal of the here and now, and not pale hands beside the Shalimar. How does it happen that the poem of complaint is no longer possible? Or that men have ceased in public to weep and faint from sheer emotion, perhaps due to dietary deficiency and sexual repression under early capitalism? Opium of love and religion is transformed into the Prozac of the masses, sinks without trace into bathos, like mastodon in La Brea tar pit, creepy as funeral jewelry. Only pariahs still relish such unsavory seizures. This is called Ethical Bind. Each day is the last of its kind, so plant a tree, even an American chestnut doomed to wither and vanish like the roast chestnut vendors of yore or the honeybee. And even if you plan to live forever, plant a tree as if each day were your last, which, from the point of view of November 7th, 2005, is true. A century from now, if there is a century from now, no one will ask you if you paid your bills or returned your calls, but someone might be there in the forest to hear your tree when it falls. What with crow, ice, snow, and sun, a college of heraldry chartered according to the doctrine of forged signatures at 2 minutes per diem from now till St. John's Eve, cooks up Occidental haikus raucous with lumpen prole impedimenta from the telephone poles. Brainless proclamations by Raven as barbarian, harbinger of just another day in the village, but suddenly naked, like those anxiety dreams about high school. But since one is invisible, there's no shame. It's bracing as striding across some Himalayan glacier, generating yogic heat and scattering trolls with imperious gestures of shiny black wing. This is called Pear Cider. Nothing compares to watching a slice of the cusp between August and September drift by with wilted and riverine in-betweenness. Algae on the marsh and herons on the march. Fallen black walnuts smelling of expensive soap. Drinking pear cider in some sylvan reserve, nestled, as real estatists say, beyond the reach of weed whackers. Ancient civilizations come to value these evanescent, untransmissible little epiphanies over the grander, grimmer peaks of history and passion. But ours is an age grown old too quickly that learned these lessons a bit too late. Deep in the sub-basement, our ideologue, not the royal nor editorial, but the schizo we, remains sourly dour on the subject of novels written about certain vowel without certain vowels, while ever-ready hordes of huddled and teeming etceteras are being flung down pyramid steps to finance our debauch. It's cool to be cruel. With hummingbirds, torn out hearts, hallucinogens, and flowers. A bomb in a cafe is worth a Mallarmé, maybe. Kill them all and let God sort them out, is at least a theory. If we speak in multiple tongues, not to while away the tedium with a Te Deum, but as agitprop, then one of us must weep for the death of urgency. How local is a breeze? Will this June ripple reach from here to Connecticut? Did it first arise in China? Or just across the river in the unborn corn? It's the sheer scale of it all that's hard to grasp. Our catbird, for instance, has this raga been going on since the Upper Jurassic in a family of bocks that's outlasted Mount Cuff? In effect, an immortal catbird? Or a breeze that leaves no trace? I learned from Sparrow to every once in a while write a bumper sticker. This one says, if you'd rather be fishing than fish, for fuck's sake. The local paper warns of new rural menace, lilac pirates. That'd look good in any poet's CV. Was once arrested for lilac piracy. Maybe violets need vigilantes. The crocus, a posse comitatus. Spring just isn't angry enough to die for its own cause, much less kill. Prose paragraph. Don't push it, don't popularize it, don't massify it. If you love it, stand aslant to it. Get out of its woo way. Don't obstruct its feng shui. Maybe a bit of body English if you're really slick. Otherwise, just step back. What you blab about won't come true, including novels and dreams. Be silent and dare are two sides of a coin designed by Moebius for a token in a nightclub run by M.C. Escher's father, deep in the bowels of a castle built by Piranesi as a set for Kafka's Schloss. Although, ultimately, everything, including real authenticity, can be faked. Only fools allow this knowledge to interfere with or deflate the pleasure of their keenest perceptions. Nihil obstat, you know, that's what the Pope says when there's no objection to your book. Nothing stands in the way of publication. Nihil obstat. Let's call the bomb round and black. With sizzling nipple, classical rabbitole model devil's egg, and as for the poem, let it be a villanelle, whatever the hell a villanelle is. However thin you slice it, like black 100-year-old egg, down to the phonemes, or blow it up in black powder clouds, bristling with thunderbolts, still the result's the same when seen from the winner's POV of the end of history's cock-a-doodle-doo, i.e., ho hum. Another lawyer, another lamppost, and still the Illuminati call the shots. My enemies are correct. I'd sacrifice any ideogram on the altar of that danger, which is the only sure sign of the unspeakably rare moments when humans achieve anything half as good as a panther or violet. Nobody's stopping you from being the Buddha. Why are you bitching and moaning? Carpe diem means DM, not what would the king say, or do we have a majority?
Oh, I see.
A secret buoyancy verges on bad taste, but only to the extent that nature cares nothing for aesthetics and therefore is never ugly. Under all the mauve and mother of pearl in its brutal delicacy. Winter is spring, same snake, different skin. We should cherish our amateur status, not confuse flatulence with afflatus. Where ignorance is bliss, it's wise to cultivate it like heirloom tomatoes. Misshapen but tasty, no shelf life. Tomatoes as grand-mère created them ex nihilo somewhere in Neolithic New Jersey. Like so many jacks, we'll trade our cows for beans and worm our way into the giant's restless dreams. The caged bird formulates no hypotheses. How flowers come into focus when you know their names. Purple loosestrife or Joe Pieweed or snowdrops like spilled moonstone. He has machines for his amazement. The very bars are woven of music down to the bone. He never marvels how the air has ceased to tickle and caress, or how the flowers sleep like fragments of mirror. Suet and seeds arrive and shit is removed, but how or whence no caged bird need ever inquire. Two more. take less than a minute. Schizophrenically unsatisfied with just one name, we secrete cognomens, AKAs, previous incarnations, unborn evil twins, noms de plume, angelic booming titles, brain as fairy bride. Round and around the palace of memory we drift like decaying gentry in Turgenev. Brain as gas bubble, decayed fish head, phosphorescent enough to read the face of a pocket watch at midnight by. We is several others, but I are ambulatory, thanks to our Episcopalian guile and catholicity of fetishes, an amusing hell of devils with good taste in wine. And last, the inflation of ego, streaming oceanic sensations, pseudo-shamanistic hydrocarbons. Nothing can compare with the blimp of self expanding like a frog's throat, the size of Ulster County. Croak, swollen membrane bubble, moon, gaseous and warmly ecumenical, spherical miracle, Ponzi scheme far-reaching as Saturn's rings, tenuous, puffed, taut by bellows punk or boreal cheek to a stretched, soapy, conceptual blowfish, huger than the whole solar system, and so on till pop. Then, for some uncountable time, silence, but finally reassembles back in the kitchen, still surrounded by unpaid bills.